washing wind, neath the bleeding sky. I called your name. There was no one there, and in the cold and snow, I saw your face. And was lying like a song.
February 6th, 2022. That was Avicii leading us in with the, you know, I played this song numerous times when I've talked about pedophiles, and this song is basically a pedophile revenge video for A Better Day. If you've never seen it, where a bunch of victims of pedophilia and child trafficking and so forth all start to go after their tormentors in the video. It's really a good story it tells. It's pretty brutal. Shows the underbelly of our world we live in. And then I was talking with somebody, and they tried to tell me pedophilia is an illness and blah, 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 blah. Just yesterday, somebody tried to pump me full of that crap. And I'm like, no, that's you feeding into the evil principle with dark fantasies and weird proclivities. And having zero connection to the creator, that you would be able to partake in some sort of activity such as that. We've had that. It just exploded all over the place. InfoWars, BitChute, all these articles from this Steven Kirshner character from the State University of New York. I believe that's what SUNY stands for. And I'll be corrected later if I'm wrong. A real creep Jew. Sicko, and really, there's a lot of these Jews pushing the lowering the age of consent, the entire war on barriers between adults and children with sexual activity. And look, we know there's a ton of clerics, both in the Protestant and especially the Catholic Vatican II sect, that are partaking in this kind of forbidden, degenerate activity. And of course, we know this is culturally in Islam as well. We had the Prophet Muhammad well, if you believe he was a prophet, so forth and so on, his taking of wives, children, child wives, and so forth. And then you have also just in the cultural, with the, you know, Greeks, and then places in the Southwest Asia, Southeast Asia, there's a lot of that. The bacha-bazi stuff and the dancing boys of Afghanistan, and, you know, all the stuff that goes on in Thailand and other places. And a lot of these young boys become cross-dressers and trannies and all the rest of this stuff due to being abused at a young age and so forth. I mean, it's really, really crazy. Mr. Producer, get clip 11 ready. We're just going to play a one-minute clip of Mr. Kirshner, Stephen Kirshner. Now he's under investigation. He'll probably get a smack on the wrist, and his brethren will find him something, you know, productive to do to maintain his life, you know, financial life, probably, you know. But let's go ahead and roll number 11, Stephen Kirshner.
There's a couple things to say here. One is, even if you are looking for a threshold, let's say there's a threshold, I'm making this number up, but let's say it's at age 8. Still, that tells you that some adult child sex is permissible. Second, the notion that it's wrong even with a one-year-old is not quite obvious to me. There are reports in some cultures of grandmothers fellating their the baby boys to calm them down when a colicky. Now, I don't know if this is true, but this is sort of widely reported as occurring in
Muslim
culture. And it working, that the grandmothers believe this actually works. If this were to be true, and again, I don't know it to be true, if it were to be true, it's hard to see what would be wrong with it. So, yeah, I guess I think, no, I don't think there's a blanket period beyond which this is permissible. If we're interested in willing participation, which is the way I structured it, then, yeah, there's a point below which people aren't willing participants in anything because they don't have intentions or they don't have the sort of mental states that allow for willing participation. But, no, I don't think it's blanket wrong at any age.
All right. So we know about the rabbis, the Mohels, doing the circumcision ritual. So that's man on boy. And then he's talking about grandmothers fellating their grandsons. I mean, you know, this Talmudic sick mindset that has permeated a large swath of Judaism, and then it, you know, and some of these backward, you know, maybe some tribe out in the middle of somewhere, maybe they do some weird stuff like that. I don't know, but I mean, is that something we want to hold up as an example to say, hey, the Baba Babui tribe over here in Guinea or whatever, they grandmothers blow their grandsons to calm them down. So maybe we should change our laws to, you know, and Harrison Smith over there from InfoWars did a great breakdown of this whole thing of some days back. And he was just, I mean, really, really good analysis. But it's just, you can't even, minds like this, and these are the people that, you know, parents spend hard earned money, get into debt, save their whole life to send their kid to get poisoned by this Kirshner character. We've just got a broken quackademic, hackademic system that needs to be totally scrapped. You know, I realize that there's a large swath of people that bring people into the world and left to their own devices. You know, I was going to play a Minister Farrakhan clip where he kind of talks about this society separating people based on the quacks. And he's like, well, they ain't doing nothing for our people's minds in them schools anyway. And so I completely agree. They're doing nothing but toxifying these children mentally and spiritually. by the crap they pump into them. But yeah, this, all the creeps at CNN being outed, you know, this, what's going to happen with CNN, I don't know. It's very fascinating to watch Zucker and this whole thing play out. You know, people are saying there's other things behind this, and it's because Zucker collapsed the network with the woke charge stuff, and they just used this little relationship with one of his cohorts as a way to get him out. I don't know. We'll see. There might be some. I mean, he looks like a creep. Zucker does, and so you just don't know what's going on here. Hopefully, it fleshes out. I want to address this as well, and then I'm going to get into this race stuff with Rogan and Eric Adams, the Young Turds, The Rock, Joe Biden. I've just dug around and came across a bunch of these little clips, and we'll have to run through this race stuff, and then you're going to hear the quote-unquote N-word, you know, this mystical word that your kosher mob has given almost a magic-like aura, to where it's a word that nobody should utter unless it's a black person, and they just utter it 50 times in a song or when they're talking about each other and so forth. But nobody else in the world can utter this word. It's an ineffable name. It's like the Jew with the tetragrammaton, you know, G slash D or Hashem. They can't say Yod Heh Vav Heh, and however you want to come that out, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahovah, whatever. Now they've made the N word, the ineffable name, okay, over the last, you know, 5-10 years. Okay, now they've made it to where your entire career will be wrecked. No matter where you're at, corporate America, government, or if you're somewhere on the media, academia, you're done. It's an inutterable phrase in a society that's supposed to have free speech. But see, these enemies have drilled down and found these ways, using people's emotions, to be able to use these things as bludgeons, bludgeon people into submission. Okay, now I'm going to get into that in a second, but all of these alt media simps that I see all over the place, okay, when they talk about these celebrities, when they talk about these politicians like Trudeau, especially Castro Trudeau, about he's triple vaxxed and he tested positive, okay. And then they use that as a mechanism to say that the vaccines, okay, are making people test positive and so forth and so on. And look, here's the thing. They're using that, the elites are using that as a way for the dummy classes out here to think that they actually took a real vaccine. And I don't believe anybody at a certain stature in society, no matter they sat down and it appears they were injected, I say the lion's share of them have not been. And so the people fall into this pitfall. All these people, I constantly hear them on all these radio broadcasts and video segments and all this. Oh, triple vax Trudeau. He's run off and he's tested positive and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Now, you got floating around this week, nurse claims tyrant Justin Trudeau's vaccination was faked. A registered nurse who's trained in giving intramuscular injections created a video explaining why she believes that Canadian tyrant Justin Trudeau and his wife Sophie did not actually receive the COVID vaccines. In fact, she said she could spot this from a mile away. just by looking at the footage that was broadcast on live TV. We've seen this before. Many rulers have faked getting shots before to entice the public to bow down and get injected. So on April 23rd of last year, allegedly Trudeau and his wife Sophie got the COVID-19 injections. This is the video and explanation from the nurse about the tyrant's first doses of the AstraZeneca at the Rexall Pharmacy. Okay, and it goes into blah, 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 why. Her main criticism was the fact that the worker who gave the couple their shots used just one hand. Nobody does that. You don't give intramuscular injections that way, she pointed out. Okay. The injector sat back on her chair and threw that needle in like it was a dart. One hand, it didn't even touch them with the other hand. Didn't touch the needle with the other hand. It was highly unusual. I mean, look, I totally am on board with this. And it's just like the Israelis getting all these, you know, they're way ahead of everybody in shots. Well, you don't think that Oburla, this Sephardic, you know, remember I plugged that article last week about from AIM for Truth about him having this long Sephardic history and he's like a real nobleman over there. You don't think he gave a large swath of them special batches of who knows what? And then, you know, I mean, give me a break. But people are falling for this, okay? Now, let's get into first, Mr. Producer, get clip two ready. Now, this was at the top of Drudge for most of the day. Now, Drudge cycled, and it's still down in the main bottom feed. Now, Joe Rogan's been doing a podcast for a long, long time. And 12 years ago, 10 years ago, in context, where you're quoting another person, where you're saying what somebody else said, you could drop the N-bomb and people wouldn't flip because they knew that you were not using it as an epithet, okay? But now over the last number of years, you cannot even do that. Well, that guy over there called this guy, bam, and then if you say the word, you're automatically guilty of a hate crime. You have uttered the ineffable name. Okay, so let's go ahead and then for if you've got sensitive ears, turn the damn show off because we're about to get into a bunch of these clowns that you know that and Eric Adams throwing the cracker word around and so forth, but. Let's listen to Rogan, and then he's going to cuck out, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, it was being racist, it was inexcusable. See, he's making a big mistake here, but let's listen to it. Go ahead and roll clip two.
Like, you know,
the nigger thing.
Yeah. Saying the word nigger.
I've already said nigger.
D is just like nigger. Well, saying nigger.
She's calling you a nigger. It's like this boy that he's a nigger, but starts calling them niggers.
Word nigger. There should be a word like nigger, especially like the word nigger. That's our nigger.
About niggers?
He says nigger. Guy, a nigger. And then our niggers.
Start saying nigger.
How to use the word nigger?
Out the word nigger.
See nigger?
Word nigger.
Say nigger, and you couldn't say nigger. And
what's nigger?
Nigger. You have to say, I'm not racist. You fucked up. And I clearly have fucked up. And that's my intention to express myself in this video. To say, there's nothing I can do to take that back. I wish I could. Obviously, that's not possible. I do hope that, if anything, that this can be a teachable moment. Because I never thought it would ever be taken out of context and put in a video.
It is a teachable moment, Joe. You weren't using it as an epithet. You weren't using it as a negative to call anybody a name or anything. You were just using it in a conversation, talking about other people uttering the phrase. There's nothing to be ashamed of, Joe. Come on. Man up and say, big deal. I was using the term describing what people were saying in a conversation. Go ahead and resume it.
Like that. And now that it is, holy shit, it looks bad. And it's part of also me doing this podcast for thousands of hours, thousands of episodes, over 12 years. I said a lot of fucking stupid shit. Which is fine when you're talking about most things, but not when you're talking about race. It's a fucking idiotic thing to say, and I was just trying to be entertaining. I certainly wasn't trying to be racist, and wasn't trying to be racist. And I certainly would never want to offend someone for entertainment with something as stupid as racism. My hope is that, look, I can't go back in time and change what I've said. I wish I could. Obviously, that's not possible. But I do hope that this can be a teachable moment for anybody that doesn't realize how offensive that word can be coming out of a white person's mouth in context or out of context. My sincere and humble apologies. I wish there was more that I could say, but all of this is just me talking from the bottom of my heart. It makes me sick watching that video, but hopefully at least some of you will accept this and understand where I'm coming from. My apologies and much love.
All right, stop it there. And I think his wife or whatever is black, and he's got a black or mixed race stepdaughter. Give me a break. I'm just done with this society that has gotten so weak. I mean, what happened to our ruggedness? It's just nuts. You're describing conversations that transpired, and you're actually trying to keep the accuracy of the conversation, and then this all turned into an ineffable word. It's so ridiculous. It's not this country is not the United States I grew up in. Now, clip three. This is the Young Turds. Okay, good old Chink and the little Jewess, his little sidekick. I can't remember her name, but Kasparian or whatever, Anna Kasparian, I think. So let's listen to the Young Turds, clip three. Go ahead and roll it.
I apologize. I know these are like difficult words to hear, but words like nigger and fag. Nigger. You niggers are why I lost my job.
He only shot a nigger. Run, nigger, run.
Nigger. Nigger this or nigger that, okay? So they're like, all right, you cover that Jerry Rice looking nigger.
Whatever, niggerhead.
Nigger. Nigger like.
His ranch was called Niggerhead.
Fucking Jews and niggers.
Nigger lover on it.
Which is better, nigger or cracker?
It was apparently called Niggerhead.
Oh, you're a nigger?
Doing fucking nothing and being a lazy nigger.
They were nigger lovers.
It don't give a nigger time to learn his lesson.
White crackers.
Yeah.
Does that mean that we can say black niggers?
They caught him on tape saying the N-word. You're going to hear it for yourself in a second. They're never going to catch me using that word nigger. Except when I say it six more times in this recording. Okay. I work too hard for them to catch me using the word nigger. Okay. No, I'm not talking about the niggers with no souls. I'm talking about regular niggers. She's not the wrong kind of nigger. She's just the kind of nigger we call nigger. Well, all I know is, you think you're never going to get in trouble for that? You're quite wrong. But, you know, look, the one thing that I love about it is how he was sure that he was never going to get caught doing it. And of course, it turned out he was wrong.
All right, you can stop it there. So, you know this, they had this in the tank on Rogan. So Rogan starts going rogue. Starts really going after the COVID narrative, McCullough, Malone, whatever, and then just talking about his liberty and lockdowns, moving to Texas, and blah, 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 blah. They had this thing in the tank on Rogan, and Neil Young, this whole thing, boom, the lefty rockers, old washed up rockers with the tranny old lady, Daryl Hannah, then Indy Irie and Joni Mitchell, they all pile on, and then boom, let's roll the end video on O'Rogan, and we'll see what we can destroy, and now we'll see what the UFC does. Hopefully Dana White and all the guys in the UFC, you know, they're going to get the context that Rogan was throwing the word around. Now, that was Young Turks, the Turds. They were much more offensive just in that collage than Rogan. you could even hear it with Chink, especially. Okay. Now, The Rock came out to support Rogan, okay, with the deplatforming and removing of all this blah, 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 blah. But now that the N-bomb stuff comes up, now Rock is pulling back. Well, Mr. Producer, let's get those two clip 17s ready to go on The Rock, shall we? Let's hear The Rock talking about some Chinese people. Go ahead and play that first one.
Okay, if The Rock didn't run over Stone Cold, then who did? Who's going to step forward?
Now, Mick, if you need even further clarification, let The Rock tell you in Chinese.
And look at, uh-oh. Look at.
Chinese?
Jing bang ding dong, he's Stone Cold, I.
Okay, you can stop that there. So, yeah, The Rock's being real nice to the Chinese. I bet you that wasn't some real words. Go ahead and scroll down to the next one there where he's talking about John Cena. Let's go ahead and roll that one.
Like a bloated transvestite Wonder Woman ready to fight crime. Pew, 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 pew,
pew. Okay, so he's calling him a bloated transvestite Wonder Woman. I wonder if the LGBT community is going to like old Rock talking, calling some head bloated transvestite Wonder Woman. And Mr. Producer, get the first one in clip 18 ready. Now, this is old Poopy Pants Bidung, Joe Bidung, in the well of or at a committee in Congress. Go ahead and roll that one.
Already have a nigger mayor. We don't need any more nigger big shots. Already have a nigger mayor. We don't need any more nigger big shots. Already have a nigger mayor. We don't need any more nigger big shots. Already have a nigger mayor. We don't need any more nigger big shots.
You get the point here. And if you want to scroll up to clip one, and hopefully we can fit this in. This is good old Eric Adams, the new Marxist replacement mayor for good old de Blasio, talking about he was a much better police than them crackers. Go ahead and roll clip one.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable in the police department when you keep 100 black to law enforcement. Came a sergeant, a lieutenant, and a captain. You know the story. Some people all of a sudden trying to reinvent me.
We'll definitely apologize. Inappropriate comments should not have been used. Someone asking me a question using that comment and playing on that word, I responded in that comment.
Mayor Adams Friday issuing an apology for comments he made 3 years ago. It's the kind of controversy that typically surfaces and is addressed on the campaign trail.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those... Man, I was unbelievable in the police department when you
So you see, you know what? The worst thing you can do, especially if you were just, you know, talking about conversations and so forth that other people were having, the words other people were using, and then to sit there and boo-hoo and say, oh, I'm sorry I shouldn't have uttered this word, even though I wasn't directing the word at individuals. You know, I said that word in context on this broadcast just to prove a point about free speech. It's ridiculous. We live in a soft, wussified society now where we've let these social justice, Jewish mind control demons infect everybody's mind, saying that words are not utterable. Now, do I go around calling people that? No, because you're probably gonna get into a violent confrontation if you go around using the word. But at the same time, this is the virus that's been implanted in everybody, no matter what skin color they are. It's a sick Soviet Leninist methodology they've used on. See you guys on the other
side. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February,
To show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Network. I've been meaning to play this for like, this is the third week. Mr. Producer, get clip 9 ready. And after we listen to a little bit of this, I'm going to read a little bit out of the protocols, which I just opened kind of like, you know, during the break. I decide sometimes to just open them up and what I was just talking about. And it's kind of fascinating where I opened up. But this is the inauguration up there in the Congress at a private type dinner of the Congressional Caucus for the advancement of Torah values. Now, I would add Congressional Caucus for the Advancement of Torah, Talmud, Noahide values, because this is what it is. It's a bunch of the pretty hardcore Orthodox. It's not Chabad Lubavitch, but it's one of their fellow kind of sister organizations of Orthodoxy, okay? And it's a rabbi named Hostetter. But the guys that really are starting this thing are a Republican Congressman, Don Bacon of Nebraska, and a couple other of these Republicans. And then a very interesting other fellow, Congressman Henry Cuellar, C-U-E-L-L-A-R, Democrat of Texas, whose home was raided and computers seized and all this other stuff recently. And he was the one really criticizing Harris and Biden for their handling of the border and the chaos down there. So I find this interesting. But let's go ahead and roll clip 9, and we're going to listen to a little bit of this.
Distinguished guests and members of Congress, good evening to you all. And thank you so much for joining us for this truly historic event. We're here to inaugurate the Congressional Caucus for the Advancement of Torah Values, a congressional member organization for the 117th Congress, and I have the Congressional Declaration right here, thanks to you and Chairman Cuellar. We live in a world filled with darkness, not only because of the coronavirus, but also because of the moral decay and the erosion of values we continue witnessing around us. Values that all decent people cherish and hold dear.
Think Noahide.
This is a concerning trend that needs to be properly challenged. And it's through this very darkness that Rabbi David Hofstetter, the leader of Dirshu, the largest Torah organization in the world, has chosen to play an instrumental role in helping establish a caucus dedicated to ensuring that these very same values are preserved. Rabbi Hofstetter is the son of Holocaust survivors, and somebody who drew on the unfathomable darkness his parents sustained in order to create the largest Torah organization in the world, bringing the light of Torah to Jews worldwide. Hitler's genocidal ways were not just meant to kill millions of Jews physically, but they were also meant to rid Jews of their faith. Through Rabbi Hofstetter's work in creating the largest Torah organization in the world, Dirshu, educating hundreds of thousands of Jews worldwide about Jewish texts, the rabbi has built and led an organization that serves as the single greatest revenge imaginable to Hitler. The Congressional Caucus for the Advancement of Torah Values is a direct outgrowth of Rabbi Hofstetter's life mission to ensure that Jewish values are preserved and promoted, and to ensure that Jewish continuity never subsides. The bipartisan nature of this caucus is reflected in the party affiliation of its distinguished chairman. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the caucus's chairman, Congressman Don Bacon, who's right here to my right, who's been, by the way, remarkable. And I want to make a special shout out. We have tremendous gratitude, Mark, to you, to the Congressman's chief of staff, who's been just amazingly helpful, and to Congressman Cuellar. Your decision to chair this caucus demonstrates your commitment to preserving our nation's moral fabric and the values on which our great country was founded. There's nothing partisan about preserving our nation's sacrosanct values, of exercising our religion and faith freely, and of ensuring the safety and security of the Jewish people. I thank both of you for having the courage of your convictions to stand up for what's right by deciding to serve as this caucus's honorable chairman. And lastly, I want to thank every single member of Congress here. Your participation in this evening's event sends a strong message to your constituents and to the American people more broadly, that our nation's best days are still ahead. Thank you so much. And with no further ado, I want to introduce our caucus's chairman, Congressman Don Bacon. Josh.
Thank you. Appreciate Josh's words. So, Josh, thank you for that introduction and those opening comments. I want to thank you and Matt Keelan for helping make this reality. You know, leaders help people do the right thing, and this was a vision that I embraced, but was a vision that was started by you and Matt, so I want to thank you. Rabbi, it's sure good to have you here coming up from New York. And I admire you and I admire your team and your organization, the Dershu. And we'll come back and talk more about that. The purpose of this is to really pledge our friendship to our Jewish friends and our brothers and sisters. Not only Israel, which I am been a defender of Israel, and I know our three congressmen here with us tonight, Dan Muser, feels the same way, Brian Smith-Patrick and Brian Stile, friends of Israel, but also friends of the Jewish people everywhere. We are 100% stand with you and against anti-Semitism of any form. I don't care where it comes from, left or right. So that's really the purpose here, is to ensure that we are, that brotherhood and sisterhood with our Jewish brothers and sisters are strong and that we stand by that. Now, I was thinking today what to make comments on, and I see somebody sent out a tweet today, and I just happened to read it, and I loved it. It was from Genesis 26:4, and so when we talk about the Torah, I believe the Torah is God's word. It was 100% accurate, 100% right when it was written.
Doesn't mean it's still the same thing today, buddy.
And so it's truth today. But Genesis 26:4 says, "I will multiply your offspring." This is to Abraham, "as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." I thought it's good to have Congressman Cuellar here, too.
Hey, I was
But my point is this verse, these Bible verses to me signify what's so good about this caucus that we're standing up. And I just want to share, when I was growing up, my dad would do devotions every day. Didn't always care for it at the time, but I know I benefited from it. He also made me go to church three times a week. Didn't always think that's what I wanted to do either, but I learned, I benefited from it. But my dad taught me it was important to know Genesis 12:3, when it says, "I will bless those who will bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse.
And all the peoples on the earth
will be blessed through you." I believe that. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. It's one of the fundamental beliefs I have when it comes to America's dealings with Israel, but also to our citizens, our Jewish citizens. So I want that commitment to you, to Rabbi Hofstadter, but all to all your team. That's where this caucus stands. And I do want to point out highlight Josh's words, because I think they're so good, that the rabbi with Dershu took an evil that occurred against his family. Obviously, 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis. But I think us as believers have a choice when we confront something like this. Do we wallow in hate? Do we wallow in revenge? Or do we turn evil and turn our actions into something positive and making a difference? And that's what I saw with the rabbi, and what Dershu's done is try to turn what was an evil and turn that into a positive, into a light, into an action that makes a difference. And the Dershu today is the largest organization teaching the Torah. That's incredible. And you're teaching the values that the Nazi nemesis was trying to stop it there.
I mean, there's enough to unpack there. They're teaching the Talmud Bavli, homie, the Babylonian Talmud. Okay, and then, now look, you can't say across the board all these rabbis are talking about genocide and whitey, but a lot of them are, and they view Rome as Edom. They throw the term Amalek on to whoever the latest enemy is, whether it's somebody Islamic or whether it's a white Christians. Really depends. They say that about Iran. They'll say that about the Palestinians sometimes, Hamas and so forth. And they'll say it about white Christians, depending on the rabbi and what their local hateful flavor is. But they really hate St. John Chrysostom. And they throw these epithets his way, but this guy, these congressmen, they know where their bread's buttered, and this is how they keep their seats, and this is how they keep the gravy train flowing. you know, Israel, the Israeli government saying they're not going to get in the middle of the Washington and Russia and China's dust up right now. But we're still pumping billions their way, aren't we? And they're going to remain neutral because they know they're in bed with the Chinese communists. They've got things going on. They've had things going on with the Russians. You know, they have a long history there. Of course, a lot of Russian so-called Jews have moved out and have made their aliyah to Israel, but still plenty of Jews in the Russian mafia and in Russia and so forth and so on. You know, this whole Abraham thing and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, you get into a lot of these theologians and they trace Genesis 49 where Jacob, Israel's prophesying over those two lads, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, and you know, you're a lot of Christian identity and British Israelite researchers and so forth that I got into hell 25 years ago, where they were saying that that's our progenitors, Ephraim and Manasseh, the British and you know the UK and America and so forth, you know, America being Manasseh and Britain being Ephraim. And then you got the black Hebrew Israelites try to throw their, you know, these tribes onto their people and all this. But it's interesting to listen to this kind of gobbledygook going on up in Washington. So the Congressional Caucus for the Advancement of Torah Values, which is just a stealth way to say putting the Goyim under the Noahide system. So remember that. Now, Protocol 9. De facto, we have already wiped out every kind of rule except our own. Although de jure, there still remain a good many of them. Nowadays, if any states raise a protest against us, it is only pro forma at our discretion and by our direction, for their anti-Semitism is indispensable to us for the management of our lesser brethren. Oh, isn't that nice? So see, they use this stuff to keep their lesser brethren scared and donating to the organizations and keeping them on the plantation, thinking everybody in the world wants to kill them and blah, 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 blah. Here's a nice one. We have got our hands into the administration of the law, into the conduct of elections, into the press, into liberty of the person, but principally into education and training as being the cornerstones. We have fooled, bemused, and corrupted the youth of the Goyim by rearing them in principles and theories which are known to us to be false, although it is by us that they have been inculcated. Isn't that nice? Teaching us lies. Isn't that quackademia? Isn't that nice? Where to go now? Let's go to clip 4 real quick. Get that one ready. This is Mark Dice. This one kind of blew up all over the internet and talk radio over the last few days. Go ahead and roll that one real quick, clip 4.
You have to watch this confrontation between a State Department spokesperson and a reporter for the Associated Press who miraculously does his job and pushes back against the government mouthpiece, demanding actual evidence of their claims that Russia is planning an imminent false flag attack in order to use as a pretext to invade Ukraine.
We have previously noted our strong concerns regarding Russian disinformation and the likelihood that Moscow might seek to create a false flag operation to initiate military activity. Now, we can say that the United States has information that Russia is planning to stage fabricated attacks by Ukrainian military or intelligence forces as a pretext for a further invasion of Ukraine. One possible option the Russians are considering, and which we made public today, involves the production of a propaganda video, a video with graphic scenes of false explosions depicting corpses, crisis actors pretending to be mourners, and images of destroyed locations or military equipment, entirely fabricated by Russian intelligence.
What is the evidence that they... I mean, this is like crisis actors, really? This is like Alex Jones territory you're getting into now. what evidence do you have to support the idea that there is some propaganda film in the making?
Matt, this is derived from information known to the U.S. government, intelligence information that we have declassified. I think you know.
Okay, well, where is it? Where is this information?
It is intelligence information that we have declassified.
Well, where is it? Where is the declassified information?
I just delivered it.
No, you made a series of allegations.
Would you like us to print out the topper? Because you will see a transcript of this briefing that you can print out for yourself.
That's not evidence, Ned. That's you saying it. That's not evidence. I'm sorry.
What would you like, Matt?
I would like to see some proof that you that you can show that that
Matt, you have
that,
been
that shows you, that.
All right,
that,
go ahead and stop it there. It's like, dude, if you said you declassified it, then dump it. I mean, these guys at the State Department, it's just what a culture of slime Washington D.C. is. What an embarrassment. I mean, and then these guys talking false flags, crisis. Dude, you guys denied this stuff for the last 20 years on every false flag you punks ran on us poor, unsuspecting fellow citizens of yours. And now all of a sudden you're going to pull the revelation of the method. You're going to, oh, the Russians are about to do false flag operations and crisis actors, fake mourners. Dude, you've been doing this all over the Middle East. You've been doing it on our soil, Boston, Sandy Hook, all this crap, 9/11. Now, I'm not saying 9/11 was totally fake. I mean, you had to do some explosions and things of this nature, but, I mean, it was completely synthetic top to bottom. I mean, and now you're going to project that onto the Russians. And then the Russians, over their history, you don't think they've ran false flags on their own people? They're damn right. All these sick governments do this to their own people. Look at the Israelis doing stuff to their own people to get them to keep them on the plantation. The Israelis being involved with the founding of Hamas. All this Shin Bet goofy stuff. I mean, all the Israelis bombing their own synagogues around the world. I mean, it's just like in the community centers and so forth. I mean, how many times? And then this guy's going to just finally in 2022 February just throw around the vernacular, which was verboten. For any of these government mouthpieces to ever say, they would sit there and ridicule all these people that would talk about all these operations that have been done right in our face, especially over the last 20 years. But, you know, you're going all the way back to the Levant affair and all this stuff. But for them now to just talk about it as it's just, you know, regular government nomenclature to talk to in press briefings to the public, it's just so hilarious, but it's so sick because we're right on the cusp of, we're right on the cusp of some things, folks, where, you know, the X-22 crowd and all the Before It's News Patriot crowd and all these people are, oh, we're winning. Well, I sure hope, because if we're not, this stuff's about to go real, real ugly. Let's see here. Let's get clip 12 ready. Remember we were talking about cyber attacks last week, the hospitals and DHS, the grid warning and all that? Well, go ahead and roll clip 12.
This is DAPU 7. There is a series of cyber attacks spread across the globe that are targeting certain places. We're talking farmers have been hit, hospitals have been hit, water facilities have been hit. Just in America, many places have been hit. When you look around the world now, we're seeing major energy sectors getting hit. Whoever's doing all this here on this world stage is running some beta runs right now in real time, and they're hitting the big-time energy sectors. We just had Germany report that there was a big hack on their energy sector. Now, Belgium saying the same thing. that apparently a massive attack here has happened at least two different energy companies in the Belgian ports of Antwerp and Ghent. So a whole other country, multiple places within it, getting attacked by these cyberheads. Okay, News Corp, ran by Rupert Murdoch, just came out and said that they have been hacked. This big cyber attack, whether it's ransomware, they're just holding them up, whether they're asking for Bitcoin. These attacks are a little bit different in different areas, but all in all, they're ramping up large scale. So now, News Corp reporting this, we have many different energy sectors getting hit, and the Biden administration just now coming out saying that we're going to create this board to examine national cybersecurity risks. Many that are hearing this are saying, wait, what? We weren't doing this already? Yep, we weren't.
With CISA and all these other
15-man group is going to be part of DHS taking more funding. And I just don't see
you can go ahead and stop. So we saw the big alleged hack over in Germany. So Moscow, this is on Al Jazeera, Moscow bans Deutsche Welle Bureau in Russia in a tit-for-tat move, DW. So Russia retaliates against Germany's ban on the German language channel of Russian state TV network RT. Russia has said it is closing the Moscow bureau of German broadcaster DW, Deutsche Welle, and revoking staff accreditations in Russia in response to Berlin's ban on the German language channel, RT. Thursday's announcement comes with tensions mounting between Russia and the West, particularly over fears of a Russian invasion of Europe's ally, Ukraine. As Biden's dumping all these weapons, Biden allegedly, we're moving all these weapons into the Ukraine, the 82nd Airborne. I mean, I sure hope that this doesn't turn into something stupid. And then, you know, the State Department's talking about a false flag. The Russians running one. Guess what that really means? That we're going to run one and then blame it on them. That's what it really means. The closure also highlights the Kremlin's increasingly hostile position towards foreign media in the wake of several high-profile expulsions of prominent foreign journalists. Well, you want a bunch of fifth columns running around in your country acting like journalists when they're probably there to cause who knows what kind of chaos and skullduggery? You know, it's a shame when people in Western countries trust their own governments less than other people's governments across on the other side of the world, because we just know our own government's rogue, taken over government's sick history, both abroad and at home, against our own citizens. We'll see you on the other side.
Rocks and a mortar, lights out in the dirt. They laid me this path, no direction but hurt.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.